Welcome to the Desert Hill Podcast, episode 004. As ever, I'm Greg.
I'm Richard.
And back again is...
Tommy.
On this week's show, we have Reading, Watching, Playing. Our debate this week is the best home consoles ever. We have some art questions to fire at Tommy, and our topic is dream bookings. What would you like to see in the world of movies, comics, or games? Let's crack on.
Okay, so Reading, Watching, Playing is what we're going to go into now. And this podcast, I think we'll start with young Gregovich.
Good.
A book to talk about.
Good. I have. It's an average classic.
An average classic?
What? I put the word classic in it to make it sound better, but it's average at best.
Right.
It is the Maze Runner series by James Dashner.
Right, okay.
I say the series, I read the first one. And I'm halfway through the second one. I watched it. No, I didn't. I read it because...
Did you watch the words with your eyes?
Yes. I did. That's what you read.
Exactly.
No, I read it because of the films out at the moment. And I heard quite good things about the film. And I've fallen for the Hunger Games trap of watching the film first before reading the book. Right. And then realising the film wasn't actually what I thought it was going to be like. That was a bit rubbish as well. The first one was rubbish. And the first book was good, so I decided to read the book first. And it's average. It's average.
What about it? It's so average.
It's just, it's kind of like, it's started off quite interesting. I quite like the concept of it, and it's like a sort of mystery, like why are the people there? Essentially, the concept is like a boy wakes up in a box, and the box is a lift, and then when he comes out of the lift, he's in a village, if you like, of just sort of teenage boys. And that village is surrounded by a big maze, and every night the maze moves and changes, and they essentially have to try and figure out why they're there. And no one can remember anything, so they've got to try and figure out why they're there and then try and escape. But there's big like monsters and that in the maze, and the concept was quite smart. I quite liked the concept to begin with, and then it got a little bit like, right, okay, I've grasped the concept, now what? Oh yeah, great, and yet more of the same.
Yeah.
And yeah. I just didn't grip me. The ending as well was like, the ending was kind of like an ending that you'd sort of seen before, I thought, personally. It didn't really grip me. Just read it, man, if you want. If you really want to read it, but I wouldn't recommend it.
I wouldn't recommend it.
I'm sold.
Do you want to do that, actually? I've not seen the film, but watch the film because it'll be over quicker.
I've watched the film and I thought it suited the story better than the book did. I know what you mean about the book. There is a lot of information and there's more going on, obviously. But as a concept, I think it just works better as a film.
Yeah.
It's quick pace. You don't really have to be too invested in the characters.
No.
Stuff happens. There's these
some stuff happens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's better than spoilers, isn't it?
So. Yeah. No, I don't want to say because essentially, but. Yeah. I don't really know how much to go. I didn't not like it. It was alright. I kind of got into it and I finished it. It kept my interest enough to get it. And even though I don't sound like I'm loving it, I actually bought the second one as well. And I've been reading that. I think maybe because I'm reading the second one, it's why I don't like the first one as much. Because the second one's not that good. And it's just like, it's more of the same, but it's almost like the guy's run out of ideas.
Is he just stringing it out?
Aye, it's like, oh, they're now somewhere else. And the same kind of thing happens, but now it's just...
It's not amazing. They're in a crossword.
Escape from the word search. No, but it's essentially the same thing. But he's just kind of run out of ideas. I think anyway. So far.
Mm. All right. So when people read the first book and they came to him and said like, oh, this is great, we're gonna have to get a trilogy out of it. Essentially, what he did was, oh fuck, you used all my good ideas. Shit. Oh no, what are we gonna do now? And he's just.
Well, that's essentially what it feels like. Is they've basically said to him, by the way, this has to be a trilogy, and his main reaction was, fuck.
Are the characters in the book the same age as the characters in the film?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're the same character, essentially. That was
like,
another thing,
actually.
The same
age as them, though, because, like, I've got this thing where, like, I won't watch Maze Runner because I'm like, oh, that looks like The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
And that looks like, I don't know, any number of kind of films that I've seen that are based on books that have the same kind of demographic of the kind of early 20s, late teeny bopper.
It's like the other film, was it Divergent? Was
Divergent. Divergent.
Aye, it's like
that
as well.
Yeah, that's a perfect
example as well. Yeah, it is one of those...
In a sci-fi setting.
It is one of those stories, man. It does feel like someone got The Hunger Games so successful and thought we need to do something else like that. It is like that. But one thing that did annoy me on the back of that was because I'd read the book after the film came out, the front cover of the book was the front cover of the film.
I know, I get really annoyed by that as well.
And that annoyed me because I've seen the act, whenever I've seen the characters in my head, I seen the actors, and like I was actually like, looking up on IMDb and being like, right, that guy's that guy, that guy's that guy. So it kind of like, I just see the wee guy for Game of Thrones that's in the film every time. I fucking need to read his
name.
What do
you mean the wee guy? You mean the short person? That's in Game of
no,
Thrones.
No. Don't mean that. The short person. No. I don't mean that. I wasn't that politically correct. There's a guy from Game of Thrones that's in the film, and like I see him all the time. But anyway, I'm going to stop talking about it because it's getting too much attention.
It was.
So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pass it off to you.
Thanks very much, and I'm going to carry on from here. I can't really improve on last time, or I can actually, because last time was a fucking mess for me. So I've actually gone out and I have actually seen a couple of films this time at the cinema, and I haven't been a lazy bastard and just watched Transcendence again, which was shite.
Would you want to after your glowing review last time?
No. Never. I've gone out and I've seen Big Hero 6, and I went to see Kingsman as well. I'll start off in Big Hero 6. Big Hero 6 is like a Disney Animation Studios film, but it's not anything to do with Pixar, but it still manages to maintain the same type of story that Pixar will give to an audience, and it still manages to maintain a story that people can just gravitate towards one character more than another. And like Baymax, who's like a central character in Big Hero 6, was that one for Big Hero 6. So essentially it's like a kid who is a genius with robotics. His brother tries to get him to go to uni to harness his genius, and he ends up having to take over from his brother's latest project, which is like an inflatable healthcare robot type thing that only really sees people as patients. So it'll only treat patients, and it can only understand like medical terminology. So if someone's like crying or whatever, the robot will actually try and provide a remedy for why they're crying, like right. From a medical perspective, and it just leads to loads of like quite funny misunderstanding and all that.
It sounds a bit like sort of Sheldon from Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite get like irony
yeah.
or
yeah,
you
know, no, absolutely, yeah. It's like it's got this like one very static emotion. But throughout the film, the kids and the robot, you know, they develop more and more. Well, he develops more of a friendship with the robot, and he begins to rely on the robot more. And it develops into this superhero type story, where a team come together and have to fight a bad guy. But the main story is just between Baymax and the kid, and it's really really cool. And there's some really like hilariously funny moments and some really really sweet moments.
I was going to ask you about that.
It's like
one of those films where it's like got adult jokes as well as kid jokes.
Yes, actually, right. there's an absolutely hilarious scene that's more adult orientated, because it's to do with like when Baymax's battery starts to get low, he starts to act drunk.
Oh, nice.
And it's fucking hilarious. It's just really, really funny. But I would totally, totally, totally recommend it. There's also an Oscar-winning, that's just won the Oscars the other night, an Oscar-winning short before it called Feast, which is really, really good, which I'd totally recommend anybody go and see as well.
That's what Pixar do, they put things before things.
Yeah, but
it's not a Pixar movie.
No, it's Disney and, like, you know.
I'll see that.
Yeah, but that's really good to do it as well. Kingsman is different. It's a comic, but it's comic book film based on Secret Service by Gibbons and Miller. So like a veteran secret agent takes like a young rapscallion under his wing to train him take a spot in the Secret Service. It's fun, action packed. There's a good script, some great fight scenes, cool dialogue, and some great ideas, cool characters, very comic booky. Colin Firth is totally ace. The guy who plays Eggsy in the film, who's like another one of the main characters. Taron Egerton's really, really good. I really enjoyed it, but I did get a little bit sad with one of the ideas in the film, because it's really, really fucking similar to one of the ones that we have for one of our fucking comics.
No.
Fuck you, Mark Miller. Not really, honest. No.
He's ripped you off.
He has without knowing it again.
before your idea has been released in any form of actual media.
Yeah,
he stole it from our head.
Yeah.
Maybe like enters your dreams like Freddy.
Like Inception.
Inception.
I'd imagine that's exactly what happens.
I think if Mark Miller could do that, I don't think he'd come anywhere near me, like dream wise. I think I'd be like quite low down on his list. For anyone's list.
Can confirm. I totally recommend that. And really, really quickly, I read Marvels as well by Kurt Busiek and Alex Ross, and it's fucking wicked.
It's meant to be a classic, like.
It's totally awesome. Yeah.
I bet it's not as good as Maze Runner, though.
Maze Runner's on a different level to it, like.
Yeah.
Like way far down below it.
Yeah.
There, I'll hand over to Tommy. Just doing a wee bit of playing with himself, or playing with
playing with myself.
All right,
I don't
okay.
think anybody wants to hear about that.
No,
could you really fill 5 minutes for that?
If I started getting out, if I started whipping out some props or anything, this could take longer than 5 minutes. A lot longer.
Props.
It could take a horrible turn as well. People could get hurt. Goodness me.
You get chucked out.
Right. Well, that depends what it's like.
Tom, you're really intrigued then. I've been playing Resident Evil HD remake of the original Resident Evil game that came out on like PS1.
Oh yeah.
In like 97 or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, really? A bit of retro gaming.
Yeah.
Retro action.
Is it the same remake as the one that came out on GameCube?
No, I don't think so. It's an updated version and it looks better than that one that came out on the GameCube.
Right.
Although I've never played that, so. But I'd imagine it looks a little better because it looks.
Well, I like
real,
think
real.
So.
This is on Xbox 360 versus a GameCube.
Yeah, it's amazing, like, it's really good. The core gameplay and stuff is exactly the same. I think the puzzles have changed. I think they've made them a bit tougher.
Oh, right, okay.
Or maybe I've just got more stupid since I played the original one. But,
I can't comment on that.
Yeah, it's really, really good. But it's just exactly the same game, practically. And you really kind of appreciate it in a different light when it looks so good and crisp and you're essentially playing the same game. And you actually do get scared. You do get creeped out and stuff like that. It's a lot more atmospheric than the older, more recent Resident Evil games.
What, have they like changed the music or something like that? Have they?
No, there's practically no music in it, and the sounds are only your footsteps and doors opening.
That's
until something jumps in and goes, and then it's like,
are they like actual sound bites from the game that you just used there, or is that just?
They are, yes.
We should really.
I like it. It's good.
Well, we drew them royalties now.
I know. Fuck.
For using their material.
Right.
We'll yeah, it's really. I mean, did you ever play the Resident Evils?
I played Resi 1 for about 10 minutes before I realised what it was, and then changed my breeks, and then played Resi 2 for about 15 minutes and they're exactly the same.
I never played any of them, no, but I am getting more and more into horror games. Like I really, really enjoyed Dead Space 2. That was like, I think that's the most recent horror game I've actually played.
That's Cack Yourself Scary.
Games tell me about that.
I hate horror games, man. I can't I once played The Sims and got broken into when I was wee, when I was shit myself. Because the music's like,
that's what you meant, like somebody had actually broke into your house while you were
No, I was just sitting playing.
What's your mum and dad give me a mic?
I'm just playing The Sims,
why are you sitting naked playing The Sims, son?
So yeah, The Sims are like my level of horror.
Of horror, right, yeah. Well. Well, I shouldn't carry on trying to play horror games then.
You shouldn't go outside.
You shouldn't go outside, yeah.
This is really good though, I highly recommend it. It's just brilliant. It's atmospheric and because it's all in the house, there's all these different camera angles that they use. And it's just, you've really got to kind of hand it to the original developers.
So it stands the test of time then?
Absolutely, yeah. The controls can be a bit clunky when you're, like the fighting and the action stuff isn't, you know, really up to today's standards for stuff like that. And they keep all the doors in. If you played it when you were younger and when it first originally came out, like any time you exited the room and went into a new room, there'd be a small cutscene with a door that would go and open, and then you'd like walk through it, or the camera would move through it, and then it'd go slam.
Slam
back here. But it happened every time you went into a new room or an old room, every time you changed to a different room, and it's so annoying.
You'd think if you were going through a mansion with the zombies and you wouldn't slam doors, eh?
I know.
Slam!
Oh fuck.
Carry a can of oil with you so you could just oil the hinges.
But your first weapon is WD-40.
We need to get these zombies. Wait, there's some DIY. This place is in some serious need of some DIY. First of all, before we do anything.
Someone phone changing rooms.
I get sacked the zombies. We've got to give the place a makeover. So recommended.
Highly recommended.
Excellent. We've got a bit of a spectrum there. It's a pretty good started off shite. Got highly recommended. It's good. Very good.
What most like we meant?
I'd recommend The Maze Runner, highly. If you like shit books! It's not actually shit.
Oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Right, well, we'll just leave it there then. Let's get a ding. Okay, you join us now for the debate. The debate, except this week, this podcast is taking a little bit of a turn. We're having a tri-debate. Three of us. A wee three-way dance. A threesome. Anyway, okay, cool. We're all comfortable with each other here.
We're all men here.
Well,
that makes it odd.
It doesn't make it odd at all, no. Anyway, let's move on. So, our debate this time is going to be what is the greatest home console of all time? Greg, open up the goddamn floor, motherfucker.
I shall. I've got the floor. Settle down and lock up your doors. Because here I come.
So non-threatening.
I have went for... Now, hold this. I was going to go for another one, but I decided to go for the Xbox 360.
Oh!
No,
oh,
don't boo it.
Sorry.
Don't worry,
I didn't. That was just all, that was all in your head.
That was... Aye, okay. The reason? Do you know the reasons about the 360?
No.
Right, good. I'll tell you anyway. Basically... I've enjoyed games for as long as I can remember. However, the 360 is the first console that I ever got to experience games as a grown-up and actually appreciate storyline, graphics, gameplay, and it's the console that I can remember completing the most amount of games on. Because when I was wee, I would just play anything. If it was pish, I'd play it. Just play absolutely anything. And also, I'm just going to read you a little list here of some games that came out for the 360.
Please do. I will.
Borderlands franchise. Fallout, Skyrim, Gears of War, the Arkham series, Walking Dead, GTA 5, the Halos, the Red Dead games, and Mass Effect. They are all quality games.
Can't really argue with that, to be honest with you. Like, you're ironic for the debate.
No, he put the Arkham games down, I'm like, right, okay, fine.
Sold.
That's it. That's exactly it. I couldn't think of another one. I just thought, oh, Batman games, eh? I'll win this.
Although, I could counter that and say that those aren't strictly Xbox 360.
Of course. No, that's fair enough.
For the sake of the debate, although I wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying.
You should try to hold on. Just totally pissed on my argument. But
keep
also,
it up, Tommy. That's what I like to hear.
I know you can get them on the PS3, but who had a PS3?
Nobody, apart from probably Bill.
The smart people. The smart people.
Yes, something like that. It also was the first console where I know it's like... People can be like sort of strictly gaming and like they're now becoming like entertainment centres, if you like. And I was kind of against that to begin with because I just wanted something for pure gaming. When I bought the 360, I got access to like Xbox Live, Netflix, Sky Player, BBC iPlayer, wee things like wireless controllers. It was the first time I've ever had a wireless controller and it changed my life.
It's totally amazing. Like, the first time you don't have to play a game.
The feeling of needing to get up for a piss and taking your wireless controller with you to the bathroom and then coming back and being like, yes! I tried to do that on my SNES. Shocking.
Is the SNES broken? Down the toilet?
No. I dragged it with me the whole way.
like some sort of like dead dog or something. I don't want to be apart from you.
Yeah, I put my sack and drowned them. Anyway. No, but it's also, other things really you take for granted now is like hard drives. Like, you used to have memory cards on game, for consoles and multi-taps, like, come up in two controllers. That all kind of, it's things you take for granted now.
Yeah.
Nowadays, but it was all massive things back in the day. And also they had the Games for Gold as well, which wasn't that great. It was a total rip-off of the PSN, but it was like a free game every month. Granted, the game was relatively... shit, but it's still a free game, so
yeah, you can't really argue, can you?
Not really, man. It's games that I've sort of fallen in love with, if you like. And if you were asking my favourite games now, you'd have your classics like Mario, Sonic, Street Fighter, Streets of Rage, stuff like that, but you'd also have a ton of these games in it as well,
yeah,
rather than like games on the Mega Drive. I like games on the Mega Drive, but there's probably like a handful of games I'd go back and play
for 5 minutes and then maybe not bother.
Yeah.
After that, or
you'd put them on and be like, "This is actually really bad. Why am I? Like, I love this as a kid."
Well, I see you can't argue with that, and you guys are starting to mention Mega Drive and NES games. I'll jump in here.
No, I'm not finished.
Okay, carry on.
Yeah, so that's why I like it.
You finished now?
I'm done.
I'm gonna take a trip back in time, and I'm gonna say that the NES, and well, it's a close call for me between NES and Mega Drive, purely because I think that they set the first standards for home gaming. The Atari, just before you.
Before I jump in and say, what about Atari?
Shut up. I don't have one, so it's not relevant to my argument. So, I thought that they were. I grew up with them. They were the first things that I had when I was a kid, and they introduced me to gaming. So, for me, it's a matter of looking back at them like totally fondly and remembering what gaming was like then and what it's like now. But I still really enjoyed the games from then now. Mm-hmm. Like, you had this stuff like your Marios, your Sonics, your Earthworm Jim, Metroid.
Earthworm Jim is such a good game.
Battletoads, mm-hmm. Double Dragons.
Sorry, Matt, is that like then you can get Earthworm Jim on the 360 as well? I can play on the 360.
Oh, you can get it on the PS3 as well.
No, but then PS3.
So you just have
to. Yeah, but nobody had that.
Yeah, no one had that.
I did. The PS3.
Oh.
Yeah. So there you go.
Says a lot that he's actually arguing for NES and Mega Drive as his favourite console rather than the PS3.
I know, but I wouldn't have ever known about it if I'd never had it for the Mega Drive. So, suck on that.
I shall.
They set a standard for gaming. It was like it's one of the first opportunities that anybody would have had to take home real arcadey games and really have a chance to escape and not have to stand behind lines of people to try and play them in an arcade while other people were putting money down saying I'm on next or whatever they sounded like wherever they were from. I assume that's what they all sounded like, no matter where they were in the world.
Anybody who's been any part of the past sounds like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like in New York, quarter down. I'm on next.
I had a dream.
Yeah.
That was a weird accent.
It was a weird accent. I kind of figured these consoles are a little bit like, and I'll use this analogy that I've used so often in these podcasts.
As I know what he's going to say.
they're kind of like Metallica. In that Metallica did an awful lot for heavy rock and metal, and you don't have to like them, but you got to respect what they did and what they've allowed people to build now and try and improve on. And NES and Mega Drive for me are like the Metallica of gaming. They're just they're still there. They're still going strong. The games are. I mean, some might argue they're overrated. Some games are certainly overrated. Some games are fucking shocking. But other games are totally amazing, stood the test of time, and still are really long-running popular franchises like the ones I've mentioned earlier. And a lot of people back in the day would have played these games and thought to themselves, with technology improving and doing this and the other thing, oh, how can I improve this? How can I make this aspect of this game better? How can I build on that? How can I do this? And this is where these games come from now. This is
definitely. It's the building blocks of it, isn't it?
They were the seeds. Spawned modern gaming.
Yes.
And that's where I'm going to finish.
Oh God.
All over both of you.
Right, Tommy, go and save this.
PlayStation 1.
That's
okay. It.
Tommy wins.
That's it.
I love the PlayStation 1, yeah.
Should we get a dinger?
No, not yet.
Should I just
why
make some kind of argument just for
posterity's sake on this podcast?
Ultra facts of the debate, yeah.
To add to the debate, it'd be nice actually, yeah. if you could.
PlayStation 1 was a real trendsetter. Really shook up the market when it first came out because it came from Sony. It wasn't from either of the big two when it first came out.
That's very true. Yeah.
You never think about that anymore, do you?
Nah, because
Sony
just
was always like it's one of the main.
Been there.
Yeah, exactly. They're like they're the big dogs now.
Well,
they are. Tommy, carry on.
And it's just my personal experiences. I would always say PS1 because there's just so many good games that I remember from like my heyday of playing games every day until my eyeballs bled and I had to go to sleep and get up and go to school and come back and do it all again.
Was it one of those things where you used to play it all day and then when you went to your bed and shut your eyes you could still see the game?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I love that.
it's like when you play games now and you've been playing them for so long that when you're walking along the street you sometimes think about aspects of the game like in real life. So if you see like, I don't know, a skip in the middle of a road, you think, oh, I could jump onto that. To jump onto a lamppost so I can get a bit higher in the map. Oh no, I'm not playing the game anymore.
Someone drives past you in a bus and you try and blow up. Using imaginary grenades. Well,
I don't carry about explosives.
Well, not anymore, man.
Not since you landed on them, funny.
Well, there were, to be fair, loads of like a ton of great games.
Oh my god, there were so many.
PlayStation 1 and
so many good games, like the Tomb Raider franchise, the Resident Evil, Silent Hill, Gran Turismo, Tekken, Max Payne.
Was that PS? That was PS1.
That was PS1.
Aye, Max Payne was good. I really liked Max Payne. Like, I remember playing it, and it was fucking weird as a game. It was pretty intense, like
pretty grim and gritty and.
The level with the baby and like the baby crying and the blood.
Oh man,
still makes me.
I don't think I ever played Max Payne, to be honest with you.
That was sweet.
Max Payne was good, but like, obviously got games as well, like the Metal Gear series, which is still a PlayStation exclusive.
Yeah, and there was the Tenchu series as well, which I'm still old and I hope for them to bring out a new game. The Tenchu series. I loved the Tenchu games.
What was Tenchu? Was that Konami or was that Capcom? What was that?
It was Activision, Was it Activision?
I don't think it was Activision. Questions we're having research, Tommy.
Yeah, no. Right. Come on, man. Sorry, what are you trying to do?
I just went on a bit of a tangent. Pause. Google. Restart.
Activision, maybe. Right.
I'm glad you asked me that, Tom.
No. Now with the wonders of modern technology.
Did you ever play... This is one of my favourite games on the PS1, this is why I'll always argue for it. And it was never like a big, massive A-plus title. Did you ever play Micromaniacs? You play Micromaniacs?
Oh, I'm sure it did, actually. Was that the Micro Machines?
It was Codemasters. I don't know if they're about anymore, but they basically had like Micro Machines on Mega Drive now, which was a great success.
Yeah.
And then Micromaniacs was like little guys that were like shrunken down, and they ran about like labs and about like desks and stuff, and you got like weapons. Dude, it's a fucking immense game. Like, even today, the graphics look shit, but
yeah.
I'd still whip it if I got it, if I had it, my PS1 and you melt it up.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I'm gonna try and get that.
Try and buy them.
Try and buy a PS1 and Micromaniacs. It's a great, great game.
Well, you're going daft with the old retro consoles these days. Maybe you should get yourself a NES or a.
I've got a SNES.
It's not a NES.
I do want a Mega Drive. I want a NES as well. To be honest, I just like spunking money away. I think that's what it comes down to.
Fair enough.
Clearly, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, money's there to be spent, isn't it?
That's it.
Really?
This has got quite deep, eh?
I know, all of a sudden, yeah.
You can enjoy it once you're gone.
Well, exactly, yeah. That's why I'm speaking from beyond the grave in this podcast, wishing I'd spent all my money.
Yeah, who's laughing now? Because I haven't spent it all on retro games. That
I would just, like, have you ever emulated? Like, you can get emulators and stuff for old retro games.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't feel the same, does
nah,
it?
Nah, no, it shouldn't. But.
I've got a bunch of retro games for the 3DS as well, and, like, as nice as it is to actually sit and play them, you're still not getting that full effect of them being on a TV and having a controller for it. It's just like playing the game on your mobile, basically. And they are great. And like, I started playing Legend of Zelda 2 recently, which was, I think it was, it came out in like 1987 or something like that. And like, trying to complete a game that's like 26 odd years old, but it was too hard for you when you're little, and you just start smashing it when you're this age. I really enjoy those old games and bringing them back to now.
Do you ever find, like, if you go back to a game now and you think, this is bloody solid, like, how did I do this when I was wee? I think it's maybe because when you were wee, you would do a level, you'd die, you'd do another, like, try again, you'd die, try again, you'd die, try again, you'd die. Nowadays, if I die like 3 or 4 times, I'm like, fuck this! I'm fucking done with it! I'm done! This is shit!
This game's rubbish.
Aye, it's not that I'm bad at it, this game is shit!
It's the game's shit, you know what I mean?
I reckon that's the people getting less patient with games, anyway.
Aye, I was the other way, like, I think it bred, like, a certain sense of determination in kids, and where you would get those levels that you just couldn't fucking do, no matter how hard you tried. And kids now, they don't know how difficult it was when you only had like one life and you had to complete a game on one life.
And you got killed like if you touched a baddie or got shot once.
Exactly.
A lot of the time, like, it was like you made one misstep and you were gone. Like,
in saying that, I hate it when I'm playing anything online like FIFA or anything like that, and I come up against somebody whose name's gonna be like Jimmy Davidson. That's a bad example. But like, say it was like.
Sorry, Jimmy Davidson.
Say it was like Destroyer 97. I thought, this guy's a kid. He's gonna absolute pump me. Because whenever you come up against somebody young on, like, say a game like FIFA, man, I just get absolutely smashed. They're all amazing at it. Yeah. They must never go outside. They're living my dream.
They're This conversation has got really deep, hasn't it?
Like, so
kids these days, money,
fucking kids.
Not to alienate any young listeners who like to play games a lot, and I've got funny,
absolutely
online names.
No, fuck them. So
we're welcome to challenges, kids.
Yeah,
fucking bring it on.
I'd give you my gamer tag, but I don't know if I get smashed anymore. So PS1.
I'll go with PS1 as well. I mean, it's the mod. It really is the modern sort of game changer, really, to put a pun on it. So to be fair, Tommy, you've won. What do you have to say for yourself?
I'd like to thank the PlayStation 1 for being so amazing.
Well, good.
And selecting it first, and that's probably the reason why I won. That debate.
I'll take the PS1 as well.
Right, we'll give this one a ding. The most civil debate ever.
Cool.
Right, so we've got Tommy back with us again now, obviously, and we've actually had we had one of our mates who was listening to the podcast, who's quite interested in art. He basically wants to get into art himself. So we're going to do another little art session, and Tommy is going to give us some answers to some questions. No, he's taking a sharp inhalation of breath, and he's ready to go. Basically, what it is, how would you start going to be an artist? If you've got the talent but you don't know where to start, like what are your tools? What are your methods? What do you do, man?
Well, one thing I would say to anybody who is looking to getting into drawing and stuff like that and doing a comic is, like, well, I remember what it was like when I started thinking about it. I mean, when I first started getting back into drawing again, all I had was a sketch pad and like four pencils and a rubber. It's like one pencil set and a rubber.
Is that what you need?
That's what I got from like W. H. Smith or something like that.
Oh, right.
And that's how I started drawing again. When I started doing the comic, I've amassed, like, I've got so much stuff that I do not use on a regular basis. Like, I've got so much like equipment or tools or whatever that I really don't need. The only things I need for actually penciling it are three pencils. I just need three pencils and a rubber.
I think the pencils are differing like heaviness, or they are like, alright, okay, so.
So they like super light one, like a 2H or so, a 4H or something, and like a H or a HB and a mechanical pencil.
HP as in
the sauce. As in, obviously, the sauce. Why did you interrupt me? I such an obvious question.
Hang your fucking...
That's literally
shit.
All I've got, man.
But that would be useful to people. Well, it would have been useful to me if someone had said to me, look, you don't need the whole pencil spectrum. You don't have to go out and buy like £200 worth of pencils and fucking £300 worth of... You don't need the best paper, you don't need the best this, you know, you don't need all this stuff that, you know, you think, oh, I want to be an artist, so I need to buy all this material, but you really don't.
This may surprise you, but when I moved into my first flat, I bought loads of books, and it was basically like how to draw, you know, comics and whatever and blah, blah, blah. And I bought like three or four of them. I bought like a pencil set. I brought all this stuff. Man, I spent maybe like £50 on like drawing stuff. I can't draw. So that was my main drawback. But that's what I've done. I basically kind of thought, if I buy everything, then it'll just happen.
Yeah.
Like, whereas like, I'm assuming you can a pencil, a pad, and then away you go.
Yeah, I've got whole sets of pencils. I use three out of them, and when it gets too low, I just have to go and like buy a new pencil set and take the same pencil that I've just used. Like,
you can just buy them separate.
I think you probably can, actually. I've got like three packs. I get them for Christmas. So I'm currently working on like three packs. But
So rather than getting like packs of socks, you get packs of pencils.
Yeah, people think they're like, oh, you must go through pencils like fucking pairs of socks, instance, but I don't.
All right, so you've got tons of pencils, right, okay. So if anyone wants to send any pencils in, just email us, DM us, whatever.
But it's like the thing people kind of think is like, well, what I thought was like, I need to know what other people use who are good artists. because there's so much available in all these different brands and price ranges.
Surely it's your own opinion, like, isn't it? The way you work.
It is, I mean, that's basically what it turns out to be. But when you're aspiring, you're like, oh, what do I want to do? What do I get? What's the best? And then I'll be the best, because that's what the best people use, stuff like that.
So you want to, emulate all the artists that you look up to and everything. I suppose it's like, it's as if you would, I don't know, if you were playing guitar or something like that, you would look up to the guys that you thought were the best out there, and you'd want to know how they do what they do and what they do to practice and what equipment they use and blah, 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 blah. So with reference to practicing then, like, how do you go about practicing? Do you just, do you doodle, do you sketch, do you test out shading? What do you do for that?
I'm basically always doing, I'm always doing something. Like, I'm always doodling at work or wherever, or, you know, any time that I'm not actually sitting down to properly do a drawing.
So if anyone listening from Tommy's work has just heard him saying he's always doodling work, that's while he's on the phone or something. So just
he does fuck all. Aye,
so I mean, have you got a particular style that you like to doodle? When you're just practicing,
doodling's just like switch off and
just like your hand.
Freehand. Yeah, you just do freehand stuff, don't you?
See, that's on the back of equipment and stuff. Like, I know, like, if you go on DeviantArt, like, a lot of people's artwork nowadays is, like, digital on it. So, is there any, like, sort of free drawing software that you need, or anything like that? Or anything that you, not especially need, but...
I've got, like, one piece of digital equipment that I use, and it's a graphics tablet. It's the basic budget starter graphics tablet. It comes with, like...
I bought one of them as well.
Software.
Sorry.
And that seemed me okay. I mean, I use it. I don't really use it for digital stuff. I've done some colouring and stuff like that in the past, but I don't really.
You crayon.
I'm not technical enough. Yeah, I've done some crayon type colouring in the past.
The worst thing about crayons is every colour tastes the same.
I have to take your word on that.
Nice.
But I think it. I know when you sent us stuff, you'd have it all pencilled and then you'd have it all inked and then you went on and sort of shaded it, coloured it and that.
Yeah.
Can you do colouring for books not digitally? Can you do it all kind of?
Yeah, I believe some people will paint.
I've seen that. That was in Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
And with reference to Marvels as well.
Alex Ross, the guy.
I don't know if it's watercolours or whatever he uses, but
I think he uses a bit of oil and a bit of acrylic to get these really, really lifelike looking.
They look phenomenal, absolutely immense. Yeah, they really do. It adds a total different dimension to a comic when they're painted, because it's something that you don't really see. You rarely see, because like with Arkham Asylum, it gives an edge and it gives you a different style and everything like that. So. Have you ever tried to do the painting yourself? Is that something that you're...
I've tried a bit of dabbling, but I think I'm just best when I'm illustrating.
No, right.
When I'm just straight up kind of drawing stuff. I think that's my strength.
I'll be controversial and say the painting that I've seen in books, I've not read Marvels, but the painting that I've seen in books, I don't really like it.
Yeah, I've got to admit.
I'm not a huge fan of it. I mean, it's different. You open up and go, oh, that's a bit different. And when you start reading it, you're like, I don't know if I like this.
Do you know what? On the back of, like, literally having just read Marvels, I had that exact same opinion, because with Arkham Asylum, I
can't tell what was going on in Arkham Asylum. I had this fucking idea.
I
love Grant Morrison, but I read it and I was like, what actually happened there? And then you read, like, there's a, like, in the book I've got, it's like, it's got this just script.
It's got the script at the back.
Then you start reading the script, and I didn't even get all the way through it. I was just like, there's absolutely no way I would get any of this subtext. Like,
nah. It's a fucking struggle.
Apparently, and that as well, is it Humpty Dumpty? Isn't it? Or Tweedledee and Tweedledum are in Arkham Asylum. I didn't actually know that until I read the script that says, in the background. Because the actual shot of them, if you like, is like two black splodges with like white dots for eyes. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. If you're reading that, you're like, what the fuck? But
so don't paint.
No, but that's the thing though. Like, Marvels is totally like the opposite end of the scale, because they're so... The paintings that are done, I don't know if it's just the way that the colours have been added, or I don't know if it's like painting on top of the actual illustrations or painting the characters just purely through paint. But it's amazing. It's really, really good, and I totally recommend it to anyone. But
the guy's a legend. Like, Alex Ross. He did Kingdom Come.
Did he?
Aye.
I take back everything I said.
Yeah, so painting can be super effective as well. And is that what you wanted to come into next? Was there another thing to come out there?
The digital stuff's just too technical for me, I think. If I get a chance to kind of sit down and get my head around it, if I get some free time,
aye,
I'll do it. But I think I just prefer the kind of traditional way of...
I like it.
Illustrating, like that's my...
So, is there a lot of shortcuts in that within the digital stuff? Does it take anything away from it? Could you be like, oh, that was great, but he's just like sort of pasted that or used like some sort of filling tool or anything like that?
I think because it's... The problem that I had with the pad was it didn't feel like I was drawing on a piece of paper because of the pressure, sensitivity, oh, right. Yeah. And the way that it picks it up, it just didn't feel right. But I think if you spend quite a lot of money on like a really, yeah, really good graphics tablet, or you can get like these touch screens and you can draw kind of straight on the touch screens and get big kind of big huge ones.
Yeah.
I've seen people using those and they all look pretty cool and they all draw on those exactly the same way as they would draw like on a piece of paper, whereas when I sit on a graphics tablet it just looks...
Yeah, the one I bought must have been really cheap because I couldn't they barely even use it. I'd have been better off with an Etch-a-Sketch.
Would you have been? They're bloody hard.
Etch-a-Sketches are hard. Everything I drew was square.
Oh, right. Yeah, so easy then. There was a question I wanted to ask actually. After you, so if there's somebody who's gone along and drawn out, say, just a page of a comic, uh-huh, and they've done their panels and they've done their penciling and they've maybe inked it and stuff like that, how would they go about like making a copy of that? Like, is there special tools that you would use to scan it, or is there how would they go about it? How do you do that?
I've got a big ass scanner, like it's huge, this big muckle thing. It cost me like 130 quid. But I think it's like still, I think that's at like the bottom of the scale for like big A3 scanners, because I like to do it on the proper page on A3 paper,
yeah,
instead of A4 or something like
that. Is that just for detail, so you get a lot more detail on it? Like,
yeah, I think the actual comic pages that like publishers use, that they send out to artists who work for them, I think they're actually smaller than A3.
Oh, right.
But still bigger than A4. Like, to get these kind of margins that they have for the top and the sides.
Oh, right, yeah, 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 yeah.
Something like, yeah, that.
It's technical.
Technical.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what I use. And then I scan it onto my computer, and then I just do, like, finishing touches, and I take away things that are just little touch-ups and stuff like that, adjust the contrast and stuff. So I don't really use the computer side for that much these days, not anymore.
Oh, right.
When it comes to actual comic stuff. But that's where I totally fall down. That's where I could really use some tips on myself, really, to get up on the kind of
technical side. You've come to the right place.
Well, you might well have. To be honest, if there's any artists out there listening who, if you want to provide any feedback for Tommy, then get in touch. Like, I mean,
absolutely. It's always better. Tip or two.
Turns this whole thing on his head.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you can help us, because...
Well, I know it's everyone's helping each other. We're helping people waste time and
sharing's caring.
Yeah, exactly. So, actually, I think I've got mixed up with something as well there when I'm asking a question. I think I remember you saying something about a light box before.
Yeah.
What's a light box again?
A light box is like a big pane of glass with a light under it,
right,
which you can lean on top of to trace effectively. What's one that? Image.
Right.
Another image, really.
So is that when you're doing, so you've done your initial sort of rough penciling, and that's when you get your proper penciling done and the better detail done?
Yep, and that's when I put another piece of paper on top and do my inked version on top of that as well.
Oh, right. Okay.
So you keep them all separate?
Yeah, I try and keep them separate so I can be like, there's my pencil work, there's my inking work.
And that's when you go, right, okay.
Yeah, is that for pride, or is that all...
Well, I thought I was going to... I thought I had to do it, and I thought I had to do really good pencil work and really good inking work so that I would get really good at doing both of them independently, and I had proof of, you know, the work that I'd done on them, so I could, like, use it as CV stuff. You know, I have to be able to show I'm a penciler or an inker if you're going for a job at a comics company, because it's either one or the other. But actually, a lot of the times these days, I think the artists just ink a lot of their own pencils.
Yeah.
My pencil work now is just scary. It just looks rubbish because I'm just getting the basically what I need to do the actual ink piece. You know, I don't need it to be completely exactly the same as how I'm going to ink it, because I can make it up the rest in my head now. So it's It's a lot quicker now than it used to be.
There you go. Right. I think that's quite a lot of info taken board. Do we have our own like comic bible for our ideas and what we like to just use as guidelines for us doing comics? Do you have anything like that yourself? Do you have like any rules that you set yourself that you like to stick to, even if it's just for amount of time you want to practice, anything like that?
The only thing that I'm kind of, I think it's the time, it's really the time. The time is really the thing that you need to produce work consistently, good work. And I can't kind of sit down for half an hour now. I used to be able to do this kind of stuff all the time, and I used to do like half an hour or a couple hours at night during the week, but I've just really not got the time now. My schedule doesn't allow for it. So what I tend to do is do big chunks of time. So it'll be like a whole Saturday or a whole Sunday.
Yeah.
Or if I get time off, I'll be like, you know, 3 days at a time or something like that. But it's just really a challenge to get that time these days. But if I don't get that time within like 2 weeks of not getting anything done, I'll get like really ratty, like really narky, because I just feel like it's just in the back of my head. I'm like, I need to get this stuff done.
It sounds a bit like an addiction, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it pretty much is.
What you should do is you should just carry like a Sharpie around with you, so if you've not had if you've not been drawing for 2 weeks, just go to a public toilet and draw on the walls.
just draw a bus stop.
Yeah, there you go. I hope this has been a pretty informative chat for everybody. I mean, if anybody does have any feedback, if anybody wants to comment, wants to ask, answer more questions, please get in touch with us, and we'll revisit a section like this another time.
Yeah, cool.
But for now, then, I feel
like I can draw now.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. You should open those books again.
I should.
This one thing for now.
Dream, 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 dream,
dream, dream, dream, dream, dream, dream, dream, dream. Anyway, so this is the dream booking part of our podcast, and what we're going to do is a new section. We're each just going to talk about what we'd love to see from books, comics, games, TV, and possibly movies. Does anybody want to jump in first? Who wants to go in?
Nah.
Cool, I'll go first.
What are we doing?
I should probably explain that again, actually. People are probably still on the back foot from us fucking singing shite. So basically we're just gonna talk about what we'd like to see from comics, books, games, films. And I'll set it up first. I'm a big fan of comic book crossovers. Always have been, and therefore I'd like to see some titans of the comic book world come together. So I would like to see Batman, Iron Man, and Roy of the Rovers all sharing a comic together, and it's a classic, instant classic.
Yeah.
Basically,
it covers all audiences.
It covers quite a wide area of audiences these days. So what's going to happen is Roy of the Rovers is going to buy a football team in Gotham, and he's going to install Bruce Wayne as the manager, because Bruce Wayne needs to study soccer to take down a soccer-based thug ring in Gotham. So it could be Sportsmaster.
That would work.
There you go. Tony Stark's going to come in as part of the crossover and buy another football team in Gotham, and he's going to use that as his plaything. And essentially, both teams are going to be in the same competition. Well, they're both
the Gotham Cup.
they're going to get to the final of the Gotham Cup, and it's going to come down to Batman and Iron Man having to take penalties to see who wins the cup.
So wait, Roy the Rovers doesn't really do very much in this, does he?
He's
two football teams that've got Batman and Iron Man.
He lends the football nature to the cup.
Okay.
Because then it's slightly believable.
He brings the Rovers.
He does. But he's bought a team in Gotham.
He has.
So as soon as he does that, he just goes away.
He buys a team, not Batman.
No, he buys a team and he puts Bruce Wayne on. It's like, come on, follow.
Sorry, I want this to be watertight. That's all.
It already is.
If this part here isn't 100%, nobody will take it seriously.
I know. That's it. And the ending, what do you mean, who wins the Gotham Cup? Like, the ending of it?
Yes.
Well, the ending of it, no one wins, because the Joker and the Mandarin both come in and blow up the stadium, and everyone dies.
Okay.
Well, that's cheery. So, a sequel, yeah? Natural sequel.
Natural, yeah. So, yeah. Who's next?
No, I don't know how you follow that.
Very fucking quickly, isn't it?
Okay, I was having a thought. It's on the same sort of lines. It's a bit nonsense. It involves Batman again. It's a common theme. Batman, Superman.
His both mind's in.
What?
Mine's involves Batman as
well. They both retire, and they go head to head in the TV world by both getting TV shows. TV talk shows, to be precise.
Nice.
Batman is gritty and determined. And everyone shouts like, Brucey, Brucey, Brucey. So he's like Jerry Springer. And like, Superman is like Oprah Winfrey. He's the sweetie wife. Everyone loves him. All his shows and his topics and that are actually really boring, but they have like fat women and floods of tears because they love that shit. So like, Batman's would be like, have like women on the show and he'd be like, Jane, you haven't seen your son in 15 years. Guess what? And she's like, oh, you friend him. And he's like, we did, but he's dead. Bring him out. Bring him out. So they wheel out this headless corpse. And she's like, oh, my God. And he's like, cuddle him. Cuddle him. She's like, so he's basically making this woman like cuddle this dead body.
Oh, my God.
On the flip side of that, Superman's would be like, oh, so Mary, you haven't seen your husband in 15 years. No, I haven't. It's like, well, we couldn't find him, but we found your son. She's like, but I love my son. He's like, doesn't matter.
Yes.
Bring it, making dreams reality. Bring him out.
And everyone will clap. And
everyone would clap in, the titles would be rolling. He would turn to the camera and he'd be like, until next time, folks, have a super day.
Ting.
Man, we
ting.
Glimmer the teeth.
Oh, yeah.
And you would leave the whole point of the show unresolved.
Exactly. But what happens is, ratings, like, everyone's loving these two shows. They can't have two shows, two talk shows. They need to have a death match. So they bring Flash in to have a debate, like a referendum, if you like Batman and Superman go head to head.
Like a ratings war.
War. But what happens is the Flash is just fucking getting a big licks. And it's like, and it's like everything he's saying, he's whipping out all these puns, and folk love puns. I've got a pun buzzer and that. So he's like, oh, we'll be back after these quick commercials. Everyone's like, oh, pun. And it turns out this Flash is actually a better host than the two of them, so they both get fired.
And then Flash takes over and he has his own monopoly on it.
Yeah.
Chat shows.
And then Batman then goes and gets involved in the football team. Royal.
It's a sequel. There you go.
Monkey
fast. That's brilliant.
There you go.
Well, Tommy, enter the three, please.
Well, I was going to say a Batman thing as well. But
well, keep going, man. Yeah. Everybody loves Batman.
You ever read these Elseworld tales from Elseworlds that involve Batman being a vampire?
No.
They're really cool. He goes up against Dracula, and like there's a trilogy of these books, they're like 100 pages long. He goes up against Dracula in the first one, and then he basically becomes a vampire during the course of this first one. And then in the second one, he's Dracula's not around anymore, but there's still vampires, and it's him trying to like deal with the curse of being a vampire and resisting the urge to drink blood and be a creature of the night and stuff like that.
Alright.
And then in the third one, there's three. The third one is like full on fucking monster, just fucking bad.
I thought
vampire.
I was going to say batshit crazy. I was like,
oh, he's
get that pun along.
No, he goes full on vamp in the third one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's actually really, really cool.
So what, you want it to be a movie or something?
Yeah, a movie. They could do it in a movie, any bother. They could do it in a 2-hour slot quite easily.
Man, sweet. I'd love to see that, actually. That'd be a nice...
Batman against Dracula.
It's just a really cool... once he becomes a vampire, like, the imagery, like, is so cool. He's doing with these big, massive wings, and his cape's still there, and that's still swirling around. And the guy who does the art, Kelly Jones, is really good at conveying this kind of horror kind of this horror style that he's got is just really, really fitting, and he just does a really, really iconic vampire Batman. I mean, it sounds a bit kind of corny, but it's actually really cool.
Nah, I'm actually quite smart though, because some of the Batman stuff looks quite eerie anyway.
Yeah, no, so if you add that element in, that'd be pretty fucking cool.
Could be a horror movie.
It could be like a Twilight vampire.
Oh, I thought it was like a Twilight movie as well.
That sounds pretty cool actually.
They're pretty good books. I've just read them recently as well, so that'd be pretty cool.
Oh, there you go. Right. Okay. Well, let's get another idea onto the table then. What else would you like to see, Greg? What is
I've got one that's a bit more serious. And actually make it happen.
Oh, right.
Preacher. Garth Ennis's Preacher.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Making it a TV show.
Sweet.
Has to be a TV show. It would lend itself so well to a TV show, and apparently it might be happening. 2015, apparently the summer, or late November, December-ish, apparently it's coming out. Seth Rogen's writing it.
Okay.
I don't know how I feel about that. But from what I've heard, and I mean, I think it's been one of these projects that has been sort of started and failed, and then started and then failed, and it's been like a film, and then that failed.
I have heard rumours about it for years.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Garth Ennis even wrote a script for it, and Kevin Smith was going to direct it, and that all failed, and it's one of these things that just seems like doomed. It's like that and Why the Last Man as well, apparently that's been going to get a film, a TV show for
ages. I've heard that's like that actually definitely is, but I think it was a TV show.
A TV show would work better, I think, for both Why the Last Man and Preacher.
Yeah.
But for Preacher, it was a 66 issue comic series, I think, with little spin-offs in that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently so, yeah. But they were saying as well that AMC have picked it up, so that can only be good news.
Good thing, actually. Yeah, like considering the amount of money they'll be making off The Walking Dead just now, they'll be able to plough that into something else.
Well, you'd like to think that, Walking Dead's been one of those shows that's been up and down, and it's been like absolutely rife with problems behind the scenes, so I kind of hope that they would have a bit more structure with this and actually think, right, okay, let's just get it done, do you know what I mean, rather than piss about.
Yeah.
But I would love to see it. I think it would be absolutely great. And
absolutely.
Because the characters are so interesting, and they could, if they cast it right and wrote it right, then yeah, it could be great. So
okay, right.
Love to see it.
Would you absolutely agree?
Yeah, me too. Like if you're gonna, the casting would be great. Like, I mean, Jesse Custer, I don't know who I would get to play him, but certainly for Cassidy.
I wanted Colin Farrell.
Yeah, I could suit it.
Just because he's Irish and can drink.
I think it'd be pretty cool for that. Yeah.
I should be like a casting agent. Can you drink?
You're the Irish drinking guy.
You're the Irish. Doesn't even get a name or that. He's just an Irish drinking man.
So we're screening for the main characters. He's from Texas and he drinks a lot. Where are you from? Texas. Can you drink a lot? Yeah.
Drunk redneck.
You are female though, so that's a bit of a problem.
It's alright.
Yeah.
Surgery on the
Preacher.
Table.
So on. Cool. Yourself and him?
I have one as well, actually. In about, like, I don't know, 10, 15 years, something like that, when everybody's just a bit, maybe people are getting it to the end of their tethers with superhero films, because they're all, like, everything, all the ideas have been done, the original waves have been done, and it's just getting to the point where they're wanting to milk it for all it's worth. I've got a comic book that I would like to see be turned into a film, and that is Punisher Kills the Marvel Universe.
This is a great idea.
I think this would be a really good way to basically reset the entire universe and just leave it where it's lying for a bit. Basically, the plot of that is Frank Castle, before he's the Punisher, his family's killed in the middle of a battle between the Avengers, X-Men, and some aliens in Central Park. He sort of confronts Cyclops and a couple of other guys once he finds out his family's been killed, and he kills Cyclops and another two, and basically gets put on trial, and it's Matt Murdock, aka Daredevil, who's representing him. From there, he gets recruited by this guy called Kesselring, who convinces Frank Castle to become the Punisher and kill all these superheroes. I'd quite like to see if just see him just wander around killing off loads of these characters.
I think it would be a great way of ending it, man. And the actual cast for that film would be ridiculous.
It'd be it'd be
quite ironic, because you'd essentially be killing off all these characters and bringing an end to the Marvel Universe by introducing a new character.
It'd be the perfect opportunity to introduce Punisher, wouldn't it?
Because it's just basically his origin, isn't it? But instead of the Mafia cutting down his family, it's superheroes. That's his target. That's his target for his vengeance.
It's actually quite a funny thing, because I think that would lend itself better to a film than the actual book, because the book's really thin.
It's really short. It's really, really short.
It's just, I don't know. I think man, that's a great idea. Killing off all the people that you've like watched for like, what, about 20 years maybe?
Yeah.
Killing off like Captain America, right, well, he may be dead, but Iron Man, Wolverine, everyone, just all of them. The people that you've grown said, like, oh, that's Hugh Jackman, that's definitely Wolverine, kill him, fucking just kill him.
Just, yeah, exactly, just kill him. Like,
kill them all.
It'd be a good way to put like a full stop to that branch of movies and just maybe like reset it all and introduce different heroes or different
don't
ideas.
Reboot
or
it,
different, no, yeah, don't reboot it.
Don't reboot it.
Reset the idea, I mean, rather than the actual films. So you'd get all this time to introduce new characters and new ideas and just try and, I don't know, come up with some, more originality.
Who would you have playing Frank Castle?
Tommy, I think you had an idea for this that I don't want to steal, so there you go.
Tom Hardy, man.
Tom Hardy. Yeah, Tom Hardy would be fucking awesome. Playing it. Yeah, he really would be. Yeah.
He's the man, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is the man.
He's so dreamy.
Actually, and just before we started recording this section as well, Greg had a really good idea for the end when Tom Hardy reveals a wee secret.
Yeah, Tom Hardy basically kills everyone, takes off his Punisher t-shirt and then puts on a Bane mask. And the whole thing's been a big sort of DC plot to take down Marvel.
And DC filmed that part. So yeah. And then Bane goes and kills everyone in the DC universe.
Yep.
And
that spawns a new trilogy.
Exactly.
And then a reboot.
Yeah, exactly.
But he just kills Green Lantern or Ryan Reynolds over and over and over again.
For an hour and a half.
I'd
watch it, man. I'd pay admission fees.
Like in various different ways, it's kind of like...
You know he dies in it. You know Green Lantern dies in it. I don't care, he's still in it. I don't want to watch it.
Amazing.
There you go.
That's that. Are there any more ideas on the table? There's got to be ideas on the table. If anyone else wants to say what they would like to see through films, games, whatever, then get in touch with us as well. Any games anyone would like to see?
Quickly, because I know we're pushed for time a little bit, but Fallout. I want a Fallout game set in Edinburgh.
Oh yes, absolutely.
I would love a Fallout game set in Edinburgh and utilise like Edinburgh Castle, Fort Road Bridge, Pentland Hills, underground Edinburgh. Obviously, if you don't know Edinburgh very well, this will mean nothing to you.
Look at Mary King's Close.
Mary King's
imagine
Close.
Imagine how freaky that would be. Look up a
sky shot, like a bird's eye view shot of Edinburgh Castle, and imagine that as like being like the last surviving city. If you like a megaton, if you've ever played the game, something like that, it would be. You played Fallout?
I've played like the first half an hour of Fallout 3, so no.
You just.
I'm about on the same level with you, bro.
Man, I fucking love it. I absolutely love it.
And would all characters have to have Edinburgh accents,
of course.
But like the really chappy ones.
All right, pal.
Hi.
How you doing, mate?
Hi. Your starting armour would be a cap of tracksuit. A baseball bat and a few roll-ups. And
Kappa tracksuit bottoms in the top.
Aye, yeah. But yeah, I think it would be quality. So, Bethesda, if you're listening and you go for a Fallout Edinburgh, I want, like, 3%. I'm not good at like that.
3%? Right, alright, well that's reasonable.
Of everything. 3%
of
everything.
The estimated £50 million that they'll make.
Aye.
The game, the merchandise and the series franchise as a whole.
Yeah.
Actually, fuck that. I don't want 3%. I want a bit of the game. I want to be in a game.
That's really. Throw the 3% away from that.
You'll just be a character who's killed off in 5 seconds. So, hey.
Oh yeah.
Oh well, there you go.
I want 7%. And a voice from the start.
Higher. Then let them barter you down.
I don't understand Barton, which is really ironic, seeing that's what Fallout's about.
So,
so, bad it.
So from what I understand, you don't want to be in the game?
No, I do.
Cool, right, okay, we'll give it a ding. Okay. Another Desert One podcast done. Hopefully everyone that's had a wee listen to that has enjoyed it again. You guys, are you guys happy with this week's show?
Yeah, had a good time.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it, thank you. Bit tired, pretty sweaty, out of breath, and
he has the bottoms on.
I'm glad all those star jumps worked for you. This is definitely not our second attempt at recording this podcast because somehow I accidentally deleted the last one. We'll not even address that, which is great. So as ever, we're on Twitter @DesertWales, Instagram @TheDesertWales. Yeah, the but it's only there for Instagram. And then for, you can email us, which is thedesertwales@gmail.com. You got anything you want to say to us? Any feedback? Any abuse? Just let us hear from you. And if you have any, actually, if you have any, what would you rather questions or anything like that? Then we might, you know.
Yeah, fire them our way.
Yeah,
love stuff like that.
I love them. We might put them in a wee quiz.
Oh no! Oh yes. Well, also. iTunes, subscribe. Oh, look us up, subscribe. Yeah. And then we'll magically appear on your phone or your iPad machine.
Your technology machine! We're also on YouTube as well, so if you just search for the Desert Whales, we'll be able to find us there. Right, that's that. So, it's cheerio from me.
Oh, I may as well.
Right, cheerio from me.
And me,
Yeah, bye.
Right. Fucking hell, man.